is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome in. This is me and Dell now for the last hour, although Carlos Correa is going to be joining us here in just a minute. He's going to be calling us, and we will talk to him, obviously, about baseball. But he's really into MMA, the UFC. Fight card tonight. It'll be interesting to see how much, you know, we're starving for live action. We're starving for something to watch that means something as opposed to the 1993 NBA Finals. You know, actually something we don't know what the results are going to be before we watch it. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not ESPN Plus gets a lot of viewers for this fight card tonight. Not a lot of household names. Glover Teixeira is going to take on Anthony Smith, Ben Rothwell, and St. Preux, and so on and so forth. But yet, it is something that is live, and it is entertainment, and it is actually sports. So it'll be interesting to see. I doubt the numbers on Korean baseball at 4:30 in the morning are hitting anything, if you want to know the truth. But it'll be interesting to see whether Bundesliga takes off here, whether or not that's going to be viewed, and whether or not just, you know, smaller fight cards like tonight's on ESPN Plus is going to do anything.
To your point about not knowing the results, there's a YouTube channel called NFL Throwback, and they just cut up highlights of games that have happened. And I've gotten to wormholes of watching those because some of them I don't remember the results of them. Like, there's a Saints game against the Cowboys from 2015. That was a wild shootout. And I'll watch that just because it's something I don't remember. I don't know the results of. So the winner of that game, even in a 15-minute clip, is a surprise to me. And it's competition, and it doesn't feel predetermined. So I watched like seven of those yesterday on my day off just because it's sports I don't recognize.
Right. Well, I watched The Usual Suspects the other day, an homage to the show that we had on the air. But I remember who Kaiser Soze was, but I forgot how they got there. So I watched the whole thing, and I was like, I don't remember any of this, but I do remember who Kaiser Soze is. So, that happens. Yeah, you watch a sporting event. Did you watch any of Derek Jeter's Mr. November last night?
No, I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah. No, that happened.
Well, then I remember all the things that Derek Jeter did. I don't want to relive Derek Jeter's moments. Was it a doc about Derek Jeter? Is that what it was?
It was the game that he became Mr. November.
Oh, okay. Oh, when he against the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks.
When he hit the home run. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. I was rooting for the Diamondbacks. I don't want to see that again.
Why are you rooting for the Diamondbacks?
Because who was rooting for the Yankees? If you're not a Yankee fan, why would you root for the Yankees?
Because they're a bunch of good guys.
No, they're not.
Champions.
Yeah, they're champions, but why would I want to root for the Yankees? I was rooting for the Diamondbacks. I felt bad for that. I forgot his name. I know he's a Korean reliever. I forgot his name. I felt bad for him that series because he got beat up throughout that entire series.
Carlos is on his way, so he will be here in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Just got word. Someone 3780-3776. We will talk to Carlos. I was just looking over his numbers, and one of the things that were, you know, Rookie of the Year he won in 2015. He was an All-Star and finished 17th in the MVP voting in 2017. But the numbers that stick out, in 2016 he played 153 games. He hasn't played more than 110 in any other year. And that's what, you know, that'll be one of the questions is, you know, Carlos, what are you doing different this year? What do you got to do body type wise and to stay on the field? Obviously, I think some of it has been freak. Obviously, the cracked ribs, or just a wow, unbelievable. But he has a new practice as well, and I think, you know, he's got a new guy that is helping him out, and maybe that'll be a big difference. He's got his arbitration case, so his year this year, he's going to get $8 million, and he's got one more arbitration year left after this. It'll be interesting to see how this works out.
It's wild.
Whether or not he's going to be here.
Yeah.
He wants to be here. And if they can come to terms on a long-term deal.
I was just thinking about it, you talking about his numbers. And he's been talked about for so long and been in the league and part of Astros' run for so long. He's only going to be 25. He's only 25 years old.
Right.
I feel like Carlos Correa has been so much a part of this thing for the Astros that he should be 30. But
right.
he's only 25 with most of his career ahead of him. And it was good to hear that you said he wanted to be here. Certainly it's going to be a difficult thing to get done considering the salary ramifications. But if they can find a way, certainly having a 25-year-old and beyond cornerstone would be huge for the Astros going forward because there are going to be some transitions. We know Verlander, I won't say he's on his last legs, but you can see that he may not have a lot of time left with the Astros. Greinke is older, but he's certainly still under contract. It could be
those two contracts will expire when Carlos does, when his free agency comes up. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of moves they make. Listen, the main thing for Carlos, and here's the deal is, you know, stay healthy, obviously, but does he want to be here? Does he want to be in a bigger market? Does he want to be in New York? You know, Daniela's got her career too, and, you know, whether or not, you know, this is the place to jump off with a whatever kind of career they're both planning after baseball is another question. Obviously he's going to, I love Houston and blah, 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 all of that stuff. But when it comes time to it, we've talked about this for years. You've got to make some choices. It's going to depend in large part what happens with George Springer this offseason too. Is that going to be too much to keep Brantley around?
Yeah, that article came out earlier this week about, well, it's right. An opinion piece certainly more than anything else about how George Springer's extension could affect Michael Brantley's time here. And Michael Brantley was good last year, and I expect whenever baseball starts again, he'll be really good again this year. But, yeah, the salary question, considering your homegrown talent, would probably affect some of the guys you've got on rental deals. And if the Astros are lucky, Kyle Tucker will be part of that outfield, and they can say goodbye to Josh Reddick and not worry about it.
Right. I mean, you look at this, you got Verlander's deal through 2021. He's making 33 a year. You've got Zach Greinke's deal through 2021. He's making $32 million a year. And then Carlos is up as well after 2021, his last arbitration year. How about that? He's still in arbitration 3, and he's been here since 2015. Baseball can really work you.
We've had this talk before about baseball is the one sport where I don't want to get into labels because these guys, even when they're rookies, are getting paid a nice ways to play baseball. But your earning potential is certainly not the same it is for the other sports where you're a millionaire as soon as your first round pick in the NFL. Now, if you're a high pick in baseball, you'll get that signing bonus. But the yearly salary for even a rookie on the rookie scale for an NBA player far exceeds the rookie salary for a baseball player. And we know about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's baseball. You put in your time.
You gotta prove it before you're getting
over and over again.
Of course, they gave money. Now they weren't afraid to pay Alex Bregman early.
No.
They gave him that money.
And I will say that the one thing about baseball, once you do prove it, the contracts are guaranteed and really nice. So once you prove to your franchise or another franchise that you have it, you get long deals if you want them in the $30-plus million range. And sometimes it doesn't even matter the position. Like baseball, you know, football is kind of slotted by position, what a quarterback makes, what a linebacker would make. Baseball, doesn't matter. If you are an elite guy at your position, you're going to make the 30.
Cool.
The 35, depending on who's paying you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carlos is on his way, I guess. It's still, we'll see. So we're working out. You want to take this break and we'll come back with Carlos?
Let's do that.
Let's break here because we're going to need to take a break anyway. A couple of minutes, we'll be back hopefully with Carlos Correa.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith. and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Lance McCullers Jr.
And I'm Carlos Correa. Welcome to the Walkout Podcast.
Welcome. Welcome for episode number 2. We're hitting the UFC 249 recap today.
Hold on, Lance. What? First things first, brother. Where is my money, brother? You owe me big time. Where is my money?
You know, I can maybe get my checkbook or something like that.
ISF straight cash, bro. Straight hundreds. Don't give me ones. Don't give me five. It's straight hundreds.
I was prepared for this. I knew, you know, we've had friendly bets going back and forth ever since we started watching fights. And I was on the losing end last night.
Ooh, it feels good to win, guys. 500. Let's go. But you know what? I'm going to take this money.
That's Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers on the Walkout. And Carlos is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Carlos, what's up?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
How you like doing the Walkout?
Oh, I enjoy it. We love the sport of MMA, combat sports in general. And, you know, during this quarantine, we were thinking about doing something. You know, it's been super boring without baseball. And with our normal lives right now. So besides doing the Walkout Podcast and talking about MMA, and it's been great, actually. We've been getting some great feedback. We got some great contacts in the UFC. We've been talking to a lot of the fighters. So it's been definitely a different but a great experience.
Yeah. Hopefully Daniela's not listening here and you talk about how boring it's been. But Let's talk a little. So you had Gaethje. You knew he was going to win that fight. Why did you think he was going to win?
For me, it was an easy pick. When I pick a fighter before the fight, or if I'm going to bet Lance, I make sure that I study and I do my homework. And so I go back and watch the last 5 fights from each fighter. And I noticed that Ferguson was not fighting the best guys in the division. None of them were top 5 in the division. He was getting tagged. He was getting hit easily, getting hit at will, losing first rounds against these guys. And then I look at Gaethje, what he did to these same guys, and he was just knocking these guys out cold in the first round, which told me that Gaethje was a superior fighter. So when Ferguson was going to fight somebody at the same level as his, it was going to be too much for him.
Yeah. Well, but Ferguson's been great too now. I mean, for Gaethje to walk in and do what he did that night was spectacular. What do you think about, now I don't think that anybody's going to make a living fighting Khabib, but what do you think about, I mean, too soon, and it looks like it could be this summer even, who do you got in that one?
That fight is easy money for Khabib. Gaethje has a lot of holes on his grappling, and if you have holes in your grappling, then you're going to have a tough night with Khabib. Gaethje has only thrown 2 head kicks in his whole career. Those were on Saturday night against Ferguson around the 4th or 5th round. He was just having fun, so he was trying some new stuff. So every time he's going to throw a kick, Khabib's going to recognize he's going to be to the leg, so he's going to catch those leg kicks. He's going to trip him. It's going to be a long night on the mat for him.
Carlos Correa with us here. He's going to make you some – I think Khabib's going to be a big favorite, though, anyway, right?
Yeah, he should be 300 at least favorite.
What did you think of Cejudo? What did you think of Cejudo retiring right after?
I think that he has some unfinished business, man. I think he can go for 145. I think he can go for a third belt. They have a great champion there on Volkanovski. But I think Cejudo being a 2-division champion, being an Olympic gold medalist, which is probably his biggest accomplishment because it's not an easy thing to do. he's going to put up a good fight against Volkanovski, man, on paper. It's a great matchup. So I don't see why he doesn't go for 145, for the 145 belt after fighting Dominic Cruz, who's 5'8", and the featherweight champion, Volkanovski, is 5'6". So I think he should go for that one. I think he has some unfinished business. So it's just that Dana has to give him some seven figures, man. The guy's a two-weight division champion. He's been knocking everybody out, the greatest the sport has ever seen. So I think he should just get paid and he'll come back.
Carlos Correa with us here talking MMA. In another life, you want to be an MMA fighter?
In another life, I would have been an MMA coach. I don't know of a fighter, man. It's too much of a sacrifice. I don't want to get hit in the face. You see what happened to Ferguson, man. You want to be a fighter until you see that, man. You know, people get punished in there and they sacrifice their lives. So that's why I respect what they do. But, you know, the fights are tough, but the training camps are probably even tougher, man. Ferguson said he's been working out. He started his training camp in December for Khabib, man. And, you know, cutting weight twice in 1 month, I mean, it's really tough, man.
Yeah, you picked the right sport, I think. Yeah,
baseball. Yeah, we're fine with baseball right now.
Yeah, guaranteed money. Yeah, all of it. You don't get hit in the face. So, how big a degenerate are you? Are you watching this card tonight on ESPN Plus?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You best bet. I watch every fight. I haven't missed one since I started watching UFC in the mid 2000s when Anderson Silva was in the middle of that 16-fight winning streak. I don't think I've missed any fights, man.
Well, that's the question. If you are, you know, your job means you're working on Saturday nights a lot of the times. So how does that work? Do you avoid spoilers and have it recorded and go back to the hotel or home and watch them? Or you get the updates while the game's going on?
Yeah, so usually when I am in the West Coast is when I have problem watching the fights. When I'm in Houston, when we're home, by the time I get home, I still get a chance to watch the main event at least. But when I'm on the West Coast, it's tough, man. It's tough. So I just have to rewatch it.
They need to put it on in the locker room so you guys can all watch it together. Right?
No, man. When we're in the middle of the season, we're locked in. There's nothing that's going to distract us from the main goal. Not even MMA. As much as I love it, when I'm playing baseball, it's time to kill out there.
So, what, you got any winners for tonight? Give me a winner so I could bet it.
Yeah, Anthony Smith to win that fight, even though Glover Teixeira has been great. He was undefeated last year on 3 fights. He's 41, though. Anthony Smith is 31. And he's number 3 in the light heavyweight division. So I think he should win that fight. It will be a good fight to watch, but it would not be anything like Ferguson and Gaethje. So don't get your hopes up on that, but it will still be a solid fight.
So Anthony Smith's the bet tonight?
Yeah, Anthony Smith's going to win tonight.
All right, Anthony Smith. Is any other good, Rothwell, any Hernandez, any other good fights on there you like?
Rothwell is fighting OSP.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't done my homework on that one, but on the podcast I picked Rothwell because OSP is a light heavyweight and it's the first time he goes up and Rothwell weighs like 260, 6'4", 260, super heavy with a big power uppercut, so I picked him just because of that, but I wouldn't bet on that one.
No, just Anthony Smith, that's the play. And we got Carlos Correa with us here on ESPN 97.5. So what are you doing? Okay, so you go with the William Morris Agency. Well, first of all, is this something that you want to do? You're with the William Morris Agency, which doesn't have – you're the first athlete that they've had. So is that a plan for you and your future that you want to get into the entertainment business when it's all said and done?
You know, right now I'm focused on baseball. This is my passion. This is what I love. This is what I do, and this is the sport I play. But eventually, you know, it gets to the point for every athlete that you hit 35, and you start thinking of the future. For some athletes, it might be too late at that point. You know what I mean? So I'm just right now, especially during this quarantine, I'm just working on building my my brand, especially in the MMA community, because you know that's one thing that I love also besides baseball. So whenever, you know, who knows, whenever I retire, I could be a commentator or work with the UFC or, you know, travel with them to this fight. So that's something that definitely interests me in the future. But right now it's baseball 24/7. Obviously in the quarantine, I've had time to do more, but hopefully baseball start back up soon, maybe next month, maybe in 2 months, and we're back on track on playing and focusing on baseball 24/7.
Yeah, you said, and I agreed with you, how are you going to quarantine, you know, 30 teams with 25 guys plus all the man and everything else, keep everybody away from their families? That just didn't sound like a plan. What do you think of this plan where you guys just play the AL West and the NL West and you 82 games and then we'll have 7 playoff teams from each league? What do you think of this one?
And whatever, right now at this point, whatever works, we'll do. We were just looking for the best option, and being away from our families, quarantine was not the best option at all. So right now we're evaluating this new proposal, and you know we want to get to play as soon as possible. So if that's the best option that we got, then you know we're gonna go out there and play. But obviously we want to be protected. We want to be safe. We want to be able to be healthy, because you know it's not only about us; it's about our families and the people around us. So you know, when the time is right and everything seems safe, then we'll get back to baseball and bring the fans more fun.
Carlos Correa is with us here on ESPN 97.5, talking some baseball. How about healthy? You mentioned healthy, and one of the things that you got to do is stay healthy. And I know you got some different guys that you're working out with now. What are you focusing on so that you have a healthy baseball season?
Yeah, I've been working on everything, man. My core stability, make sure I'm strong and balanced. Taking care of my body, man, eating right, getting my rest. Things that I didn't know back then that I know now that I wish I knew a couple of years back. But just taking care of my body as a whole, man. Right now I'm healthy. I feel great. I felt amazing during spring training. I hated that the coronavirus decided to come in and do this to us. So right now we've just been staying in shape. I've been working out pretty much every single day, and you know I'm right now at the gym. I'm about to work out too, so I've been feeling really good, man. I've been feeling really good, and I can't wait for the season to start.
How about that you're gonna play playing in front of nobody? How weird. You're gonna be able to hear the manager talking to the pitcher from the mound, right? You're gonna be able to, I mean, it'll be like every day is a spring training game with nobody there.
Yeah, definitely it's going to be different. We're used to playing with fans and feel the atmosphere that is always great, especially when you hit a home run at home, everybody's cheering. When you hit a home run on the road with 2 outs and 2 strikes and everybody just gets quiet all of a sudden, that's a fun in baseball, man. But if it's what it takes for us to get back to playing baseball and bring some fun to all the people out there that love the sport, then we'll do that, man, and we'll bring our A game and we'll play with the same passion and we'll try to win every game.
Who's going to be ahead of who with all this time off, the pitchers or the hitters?
I think the hitters, because the pitchers need time to build up, and if we're going to have a short spring training, then it might be a problem for some pitchers, man, because they need the most time to build up and get in shape. Especially with their arms, man.
Yeah, and hey, this might be an advantage for you guys with Verlander with his injury. He was going to miss some time, and now he won't miss any time. And a shorter season for older guys like Greinke and Verlander may be a big advantage for you guys.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, yeah. It's huge that we get to have Verlander on opening day, whenever that is. And, it totally makes sense. It totally makes sense from that point of view.
Yeah. You guys are still one of the team. We were just talking about your contract. You're going to be up after next year. Verlander's up after next year. Greinke's up after next year. This could look like, I mean, this is a run that you guys have got to go on over these next 2 years with everybody in place.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Our goal is, you know, to win another championship. We got two more years as a team, the team that we have right now as a whole. And you know, we know that we got to go out there and perform this year and perform next year and try to win one, two championships. But that's definitely the goal, man. We want to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll let you go work out. We appreciate your time, man. It was good talking some MMA. It's called The Walkout. You can find it on Apple. You can find it at your Instagram page, The Walkout. Just listen. Great MMA stuff with Lance and Carlos there. And we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. Thank you for talking about The Walkout podcast. I enjoy that. And on the second episode that we just released, we have interviews with Henry Cejudo, that just fought on Saturday, and Ariel Helwani and Michael Carter Williams, who's an NBA player. So it was a fun episode, man. You guys should check it out.
Hey, do me a favor though, before you go, you're about to work out. Make sure that Fox lifts some weights. He's weak, and he's weak, man. Isn't he? And his golf game sucks. So maybe you build up some strength, so he'll be a better golfer.
He calls himself the best athlete of all time. He's terrible. Sucks at every sport he plays.
He's terrible. That is a joke.
He is.
Carlos, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. There's Carlos Correa right here on ESPN 97.5. All right. Taking one here. 713-780-3776. We got another segment here before we hit News of the Weird. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in a hurry. Anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Who was it that said that this is going to pass now?
John Heyman, baseball writer, hit in a tweet about 15 minutes ago, said universal DH proposed by MLB is expected to be easily approved by players who long favored idea. It won't impact finances in 20, but could boost pay for select few in 21 based on better stats. Teams helped Dodgers, great depth. Nats the same. Brewers with Braun and the Mets with Cespedes possibly. So looks like one of the rules that kind of differentiated the leagues is going away.
Yeah, And it'll be just for this year, but there's a chance. I bet you this sticks.
Yeah, it seems like something that should have been happened a long time ago. I know National League managers have to do more and all that type of stuff, but does anyone really want to see a pitcher hit? Does anyone care about that at bat?
Mm-hmm. No one cares. No one wants to see a pitcher hit. Oh, there's so much more. Oh, there's so much more strategy. Stop it. At no other level do you have pitchers hitting, unless, you know, in Little League, the pitcher's usually the best hitter.
Yeah.
So he's going to – but college, DH, and the minors, your DH, and who wants to see a pitcher hit? Nobody. Just use the DH.
So it looks like we'll have that when baseball resumes. And I don't know if it was simply this year, but – it seems like something that should be something they adopt going forward. Just it seems like it makes sense. Why is one of your best players in the biggest series of the year missing, depending on who has home field advantage, possibly four games, or you have to take a player out just to get him in, and maybe he's a worse defensive player? It never made sense to me.
No. So that's breaking news. The players will – I mean, as long as the owners don't try to – and they didn't talk about money – but I mean, what do the players have to – I mean, an 82-game schedule, with teams, you're only playing teams near you. Why would the players balk at, you know, not traveling from Seattle to Miami? You know, I just don't see it. I mean, playing in your division, having seven teams in the playoffs, it all seems like everything just seems like a positive for the playoffs.
So,
you know, you get to play in your home park. I think they're going to have a real problem with L.A.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. With the Dodgers, is there a viable solution for the California teams to move out of state to play their
home
games?
Arizona opened up today. They probably all the Angels and the Dodgers probably moved to Arizona.
And so where did the Northern California, they go up to Seattle to play their home games?
Well, or maybe they all go to Arizona because they've all got spring training sites there.
Certainly, yeah, it would make some sense. So maybe because I'm sure there will be home games on the same day, so maybe some teams are playing in minor league stadiums as opposed to the Diamondback stadium, or maybe they stack up doubleheaders if the Diamondbacks are out of town, the Dodgers are hosting a series,
right?
And then the Angels are hosting a series. They just switch up the times.
And you can even do a day night.
Yeah,
I mean, because there's no fans, you don't have to worry about that.
That's true.
You can't play outside in Arizona though in the summer. You just can't.
Yeah, it's a brutal
existence.
It's
impossible. It's the hottest place on earth.
So that's
literally you scorch the back of your legs when you sit in your car.
I guess Texas might be an option too. Have they torn down the old stadium? They turned into a football facility, right, for the XFL, and that's no longer a thing. Right, for where the Rangers used to play as opposed to what the new stadium is going to look like?
Oh, it's still up.
Yeah, that's what I was asking, because they turned it into an XFL facility school football. I don't know I was thinking of other venues where you could host a team.
Well, that's easily transformed back into baseball.
Yeah, I would imagine. So there are some options if the California teams have to play their games out of state. There are places where –
Like you said, you could do home and away with the Rangers too.
Yeah, that could happen.
Anytime the Rangers are home, that thing could be used every night. You can do the same thing in Arizona. You're right. So that would be those are options for the California team. So now, L.A. is shut down through July. I don't know that every city in California is going to be shut down through July.
Yeah, Oakland and San Francisco might have different ways of going about things, so maybe they won't have to worry about it so much. And San Diego, I don't know San Diego's ruling. That's another one. We just forget about the Padres because who cares about the Padres? But that's another one who under consideration. But I don't know what San Diego County's rules are right now. But the governor said no, he doesn't see sports happening with fans, but he didn't say anything about not having sports with no fans. So if San Diego's rules are more lax than L.A. County's, maybe the Padres, maybe L.A. teams go down there and play. There's less travel. And you're not as far away from your families, so maybe San Diego's an option for the Angels and the Dodgers.
Right. Well, there's all kinds. Hey, you know what? You work it out. They'll figure out a way. You know what? Let's get it confirmed. And I don't want to hear, you know, the owners. You know what? Guess what? You agreed to it. I can see the player's side. I can certainly see the player's side where they, you know, they're like, hey. You guys agreed to this. You should have thought of no fans when you were agreeing to it. When you were agreeing to these terms, and you didn't. That's on you, not on us. And take the law, take the L, right?
Sometimes
I've been taking the L for years.
How so? How have you been taking L's?
I take the L.
No, you don't. Your whole life is full of W's.
No, are you kidding? What about the Strug Life? What about Cart Path Only? What about my bike being stolen? I take the L.
That's a legitimate L. When you get your property stolen, that's an L. But Cart Path Only, that's not an L.
Cart Path Only is like one of the worst. You don't know. Cart Path Only is garbage.
I feel
it's it's a garbage life living Cart Path Only.
Yeah, you're really struggling. Hey, maybe just don't go to Wildcat then if it's Cart Path Only. If you're having so many problems with it, if all I'm going to listen to you is complain about it, maybe don't play golf.
Well, here's the deal. Wildcat is the first one to go off the path and onto because it's the highest elevation with crowned fairways. And whenever it rains, it's the first one to open up to driving on on the course.
Well, we have
so
not.
So you have that.
What we have not discussed is the loss of revenue for the Sherpas who had to get you up, who had to scale you up the mountains at Wildcat so you can play your golf. Have the Sherpas returned, John?
The Sherpas are back. Don't worry about
it. Nice. I'm glad those guys can get back to work to take you up to the highest elevations in the city to play golf.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Are the cart path girls there?
Are there what?
Are there cart girls at Wildcat or whatever they're called?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are they back too?
They're back. Everybody's back.
Nice.
Don't worry. You're getting great service out there.
I'm just looking out for the economy of the people who work there.
I'm going there today, as a matter of fact.
Are you taking your oxygen tank with you so you, no, you don't
good.
Pass
no.
out?
No, I'm good. You see how – oh, you need an oxygen tank? No.
Well, it's really high up there. That's all I'm saying.
Because of so much less traffic. Our skies are clear now.
No, I'm talking about you're high up. The air gets thinner up there. So are you taking your tank with you?
No, listen, our atmosphere is so much better now. No, you don't need an oxygen tank, okay?
Just be careful, Mr. John, it's cold up here, Mr. John. Where's your tank? I'm just saying, the Sherpas are probably going to recommend you bring an oxygen tank. Don't make them have to get an extra one because you didn't bring yours.
So Ian says, cart path only is like sitting behind home plate and having to use the bathroom in center field. That's exactly what it's like.
Get out of here.
That's not a life I want to live.
That's embarrassing that you've made that comparison.
Okay.
Get out of here, Ian.
All right. Ian. No, see, Ian's a smart. See, you don't know nothing about it.
So,
you don't know nothing.
What? No, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. You got to walk all the way to your ball, then you hit it, and you got to bring three or four clubs because you don't know how far it is. You got to shoot it or find out the yardage. Then you got to hit it. Then you got to walk all the way back to your cart. That's a life I don't want to live.
Does Wildcat play that Sarah McLachlan song every time they tell everyone it's cart path only just to get everyone
the
in the booth?
One?
Yeah, is that the one where they like, oh, guys, we have something to tell you, and then a song starts to play?
It is horrible.
Does this song play under their announcement about cart path only?
That's perfect. That is the perfect song for cart path only. All right, I want to talk right now. We got news of the weird coming your way, but I got to talk right now about hoops, sporting goods and equipment. And I think Ian, I'm not sure. I think Ian's got one. I'm not sure though. But you know, he's a little guy, so he had little kids, short kids. So they're not going to be able to shoot when they're young. They're not going to be able to shoot a 10-foot goal. So what you want to do is you want to lower the basket so that your kids can actually enjoy it. You can't, if they can't enjoy you stapling the goal to the tent, to the garage at 10 feet. Daddy, I can't reach it. This is no fun. I'm going back and playing video games or I'm you know what? I'm going to start doing, you know, bad things. What? No. Go play basketball on the driveway. Well, I can't enjoy it. Well, then get a hoops goal so that your kids don't do bad things. What they do is they lower the goal so they can actually enjoy the goal, enjoy playing basketball, lower it so they can dunk and they can have fun playing. Dad, get your kids the hoops goal. It's the best goal in the market. Your wife will love it because it'll actually add to the curb appeal. Look, I need you right now to go to produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com. And see for yourself. This is the magic goal. The installation is second to none. The service is excellent. Everything about it. ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, our final segment, News of the Weird. Hey, there's a picture of a woman, the New York Post put a topless medical worker, blows off steam in Times Square. She's out there with some kind of a headpiece on, some kind of a wolf mask and headpiece, and she's got a thong on and nothing else. A medical worker de-stressed and disrobed in a piece of street performance art in Times Square on Monday morning. I've been working for 6 weeks, and I've seen a lot of death, so I wanted to mix art and costumes to relieve my tension. I did it to relieve stress, she says.
Do we just give medical workers free run? As long as they don't commit violent crimes, do we just let them do whatever they want? Like, look,
and you know what?
You understand.
I mean, isn't this like, I mean, they are. They're like first responders now, aren't they, the medical community? So I think that they get some leeway here, don't they?
I think so. As long as we don't find out she worked for a plastic surgeon, like she was the woman who handed the surgeon the boobs. As long as she was actually treating people, who cares?
Right.
Who cares what she does?
So she showed some boobs. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Big deal. Let her de-stress. Right. I feel I'm judging clearly here. I think it's an odd way to do that, but if that's her thing, let her do it.
Yeah. I mean, and who'd she hurt?
To be honest, it depends on what her boobs look like.
She actually looked.
Okay.
No, she was in shape. She looked good.
So she was giving everyone a show.
That's what I'm saying. If you're hot, you can do whatever you want, too, right?
I feel like that's a bad approach to life.
If it wasn't something you'd want to see, then you go, nah, you got to arrest her.
Arrest her for what? Pancake ass?
Indecency.
Indecency.
Okay. Yeah. Grossing us out. That's what.
That's not on the books.
Kind of is.
Grossing out dudes gets you arrested.
It kind of is. Or should be. If it's not, then you know what? I'm running for office.
Oh, your campaign.
Laws. I'm changing the laws in this country.
Your campaign would be one where, what did he say again? Whatever. We don't care. That's pretty much what I said that. So, what are you going to do about it? That'd be your entire strategy to try to tamp down like scandal. Yeah, I said it. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what? A bull had an itchy butt. Well, when he scratched it, he cut off power to 800 homes. Apparently, he knocked a transformer off an electricity pole. That is one itchy butt. Have you ever used an electricity pole to scratch your butt?
No, I got opposable thumbs. I don't need to go out and scratch my ass on an electricity pole. I got a hand for that. The bull, less capable of doing that by himself.
Right.
So I get it. Me, not heading out. I'm not knocking out a transformer because my ass itches.
Well, do you think this bull might have had some tendencies? I mean,
what
he
tendencies?
Was really working that pole.
Like a stripper? What do you mean tendencies? You think that bull in another life could have been a stripper?
Maybe. I don't know. Or, I don't know. Maybe he just wanted a pole in his butt. I don't know.
Well, maybe he wanted.
I have the thought process of bulls.
Well, the bull would have really benefited from this.
An LSU fan came and stuck his finger in my booty.
See?
Just
now that, see,
get that itch scratch.
That distresses a lot of people.
A finger in the booty?
A finger in the booty. Maybe not Dennis Rodman, though. Did you see he described his night, a night of hotties and vodka with Kim Jong-un? Apparently, the first time he met Kim Jong-un, he didn't know who he was. Came off the court, Kim Jong-un was like, hey, you like our country? Yeah, it's okay. That's all right. Well, why don't you come to my house? And he had dinner, karaoke, vodka, and some hotties and stuff like that. Next thing I know, having dinner, and an 18-piece band of hot women came out, and the only thing they knew how to play was the theme song from the 1978 TV show Dallas. That was all he knew.
That
and then
is,
he suggested.
That is a. Yeah. If Kim Jong is big into American culture, and maybe, I don't know what they're banning and not banning, that show might have been the one show that gets through over there.
So Rodman suggested, hey, why don't you learn some Pearl Jam and Van Halen and Rolling Stones? And he said the next time he visited, they played all his requests. Listen, yeah. Da-da. This is all they played, an 18-piece band.
And how long was this party? Did they just play that over and over again?
Over and over and over. That would, now, okay, would you rather sit in a room for 8 hours in the dark or hear the Dallas theme song over and over and over with Kim Jong-un?
Honestly, I don't mind the Dallas theme song so much. I think I'd take that over this the silence and darkness of 8 hours. If you told me you get 30K if you listen to the Dallas theme song 8 hours a day for 4 months, or you do the silent dark room, I think I'm taking the Dallas theme song.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's kind of upbeat. I mean, it would probably make you want to murder someone after the eighth hour.
Yeah, but, I know. You'd be like,
but hey. I feel like, I'll just imagine Victoria Principal and be like, I'm good.
Well, Victoria Principal, wow.
She was the one back then.
She was it. A degenerate gambler hit a 10-team, well, it wasn't a team, a 10-bet parlay on table tennis. He picked 10 winners from Russian table tennis and won a $100 bet, won him $24,000.
You know what kind of sicko you have to be right on 10 right. different table tennis winners?
Do you think he just went, this guy.
For,
honestly?
For humankind, I hope he just won by luck. But if you have the ability to study table tennis and know who's going to win 10 out of 10, get your life. What are you doing?
Well, he did pick up 25 large, almost 25
look,
large.
Look, I'm judging, but he just made 25K. So yeah. Someone's got okay. the right idea.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you do it.
Did you see the Chinese and Indians on the border? And this is like Indians. Not the Chinese and the Indians had a border brawl. Apparently they had like 150 strong fist fighting and throwing rocks. Now this is the way that we should have our wars now.
Were they soldiers or just citizens from each side who decided to get into a rumble?
The Indian Army said its troops engaged in a mass brawl with Chinese soldiers at a remote mountainous border.
If you could turn wars into fist fights and that determined who won, I'd be all for it.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
It'd be awesome.
Like, that's how we used to fight.
True, but they also used to just stand in line and like get shot with muskets. Hey, we'll stand in front of you, stand in front of us, we'll fire a musket at you and see how many people stand. I feel like that's a bad way to fight a war. But the other way, punches being thrown,
yeah,
and winner takes all. The rock thing is kind of dangerous.
Well, of course it's dangerous. It's a fight.
But hand-to-hand combat I'm good with.
Yeah, but there's no technology. It's not. It's like all the other Major League Baseball teams, and except the Astros. There's no technology.
I don't know. A rock could be a weapon of mass destruction in a hand-to-hand combat. You pick up a good enough boulder to hit someone on the side of the head, they're dead.
Well, that's not mass destruction. Mass destruction is a lot of people.
Well, how about you have multiple rocks and you drop them like missiles?
Someone else hits you with a rock, and guess what? There goes that weapon of mass destruction.
Now we have nuclear war, John. Do we really want that?
Or rocks to the head. I'm going with rocks to the head.
I enjoy the fist fight aspect of it. Throw a couple rounds, throw a couple punches, and winner take all. And
who would be world power if we had just fist fight?
I don't know. All those world's strongest men come from those Nordic countries. Yeah. So if they got 150 of those guys, I feel like they could rule the world. They got Viking blood.
Yeah. I tell you what, the Irish would be a much stronger country, I think.
Wouldn't they be? Isn't the joke
they'd
be too drunk?
They like to throw hands.
If they could actually make it to the fight coming from the pub.
Well, yeah. But don't forget, if they come, they'll be drunk, and they like to throw hands drunk.
If they actually make it to the fight, they've got a real shot.
Yeah, because they don't feel anything. But hit them with a rock to the head, they won't feel nothing.
I just got questions of whether they'll make it. Stumbling around.
Where's the fight?
Yeah, exactly. They just turn back around and go to the pub, John.
I just think the Irish will be a lot tougher than they are now. All right, it's 10:55. Time for the press box.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah. Joel in studio. I'm producing. Hey. Nick will be in for the final hour.
He'll be in for the final hour. And you're producing?
Yes. Apparently Nick got the directive. Hey, how about you follow the rules and not produce when you're not supposed to? I don't know. He's just not going to produce today.
Just start like interrupting
Charlie and Joel?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll appreciate it.
No, I think they will. I mean, yeah, just like maybe ask them math questions or something.
But I don't have math answers.
Well, you can look them
up. I'll ask them Nigerian soccer questions and see how that goes.
See how that works out for them. All right, we're done. We will talk to you again. Have a great day, everybody.
This is ESPN 97.5.